first scripture for our consideration tonight. I want to read one that we all know well. It's taken out of Mark, the fourth chapter. And Christ had been talking to the people in parables, much like we've been studying in our congregation. But it says, beginning with the 27th verse, "And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. And the same day, when evening was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was, into a ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat over into the ship. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said unto him, Master, carest not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this? I want to thank you for your ministry of music. If we'd all so desire to share our talents with the Lord, how blessed we'd be. The scripture I read is not the theme, but I think that it puts a perspective on where we're at in our day and time. You see, his disciples have been with him who knows how long in his ministry, listening to him share the gospel, his doctrine, which he was teaching. He expounded the parable so they might understand. And then they went into a ship and the winds arose. The sea got to be tossing back and forth. And they began to be frightened. Much like we are in the world today. We look at our nation, we see things are in turmoil. We've watched our church over the years and we see that it's in turmoil. We look into the lives of our families. And see, there's great turmoil in some of our families. And in the lives of our children. And we might be like them, crying out to the Master, "Carest not that we perish?" He does care for you. Didn't he go to the cross for you? We become fearful. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. We worry about our children and what they'll have to face. We might worry about some sickness that one of our loved ones has. Don't we realize that He holds us in the palms of His hands? That He knows our every need. That He's promised us He'll never give us more than we can bear. We've seen His mighty works. And yet, we esteem Him not and shortly forget Him. The phrase that we have for a theme tonight, "Be still and know that I am," it's over the doors of our sanctuary as we go in, as it is in many other church buildings. But you know, that phrase was used twice, recorded in the Scriptures. One is in the Doctrine and Covenants, and the saints were suffering much affliction here at the center place. And in this revelation, it was addressed to the saints in Ohio concerning the brethren. It says, "I, the Lord, have suffered the afflictions to them, to come unto them, wherewith they have been afflicted in consequences of their transgression." Then down in verse 3 it says, "And behold, I say unto you, there were jarring and contention, envyings, strifes, lustful and covetous desires among them. Therefore, by these things they polluted their inheritance. They were slow to hearken unto the voice of the Lord their God. Therefore, the Lord their God was slow to hearken unto their prayers, to answer them in the day of their trouble. In the day of their peace, they esteemed lightly my counsel. But in the day of their trouble, of necessity, they feel after me." Doesn't that sound a little familiar with the way we approach the Lord? Everything's going good. I got a good job. Family's all well. We go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And everything's going pretty good. But what happens when something happens? How's your faith? Is it strong enough to carry you through? You know, sometimes at last resort, when we've done all that we can do and have nowhere else to turn, we humble ourselves and get on our knees and cry, "Lord, Lord, help me." But He wants us to come to Him first and place our burdens at His feet. It goes on and talks about the things. And then He says, "Therefore, let your hearts be comforted concerning Zion. All flesh is in my hands. Be still and know that I am God." How well do you think you know God? How well do you think you know His Son? I'd probably venture to say that most of us, if not all of us, don't know Him the way we need to know Him. We get closer to Him in an experience like this. We come out of the world and we don't have all the things that pull us into the world. And our love affair with the things of the world, whether it's our gadgets, our surroundings, but He wants us to love Him. Love the Lord our God with all our heart, might, mind, and strength. Oakman says it is not that we know God, because we know of Him anyway. We might know Him a little bit. We've had some experiences. But that we don't know Him good enough. The other scripture that that phrase is used is in Psalms. And I really never studied it before. We just so often just quote the phrase, "Be still and know that I'm God." Beginning at verse 1 and 46 sections of Psalms, or chapter of Psalms, God is our refuge and strength, a present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth shall be removed, and though the mountains shall be carried into the midst of the sea, and the waters thereof roar, being troubled, and the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. And then down in the fifth verse it says, "And Zion shall come, God shall be in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her right early." And then it goes on to talk about the heathen, how angry they're going to get, and how that the Lord, the work that the Lord is going to do in the last days. In verse 8 it says, "Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolation he shall make in the earth in the latter days." Some still to come. "He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth, and he breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear asunder. He burneth the chariots in fire." He didn't say this to us. "He saideth it unto the nations, Be still, and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth, and the Lord of hosts shall be with us, the God of Jacob, our refuge." You see, the two examples that are given in the scriptures is times of trouble and chaos. Can you think of any other times that we know about like that? Where the Lord's trying to get our attention to respond to Him, to be obedient to the things He's asked of us. I turn back and the phrasing's a little different. In Exodus in the 15th chapter. Remember the stories and all the things that God had Moses do in Egypt? All the things he caused to come upon Egypt? That his people might be set free? Aren't we kind of like that today? Isn't the Lord trying to set us free from the world, to draw us back into His presence, that we might feel Him near? And what happened when they come up to the Red Sea? Pharaoh's chariots were coming and they could see Him. And what about the people? What did they do? Oh, it would have been better if we'd have never left. And we're like that sometimes. We'd like to go back to maybe sometime in our lives when things was maybe a little easier than they are now. But the Lord wants us to move forward. And Moses said unto the people, fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see again no more forever. He's wanting us to stand still long enough to recognize in camp. Some of you kids that were at camp, I believe at a campfire or something, you learned about being still and listening. My mind's always going 100 miles an hour. Sometimes when I'm talking to people, I'm trying to think of what I'm going to say next. Instead of just being there and listen. We're kind of like that in our prayers. Lord, help me, and this is how I want you to help me. Instead of praying, Lord, thy will. I put my burdens at your feet. Lead me. Lead me. And so after all these experiences, when they got on the crossed the sea on dry land and crossed to the other side, it wasn't very long and they forgot. Think about your testimonies and what the Lord has done in your life and what has got you to this point. You didn't get here on your own. You're not strong enough to stand before Him on your own. But it's by the power of His Spirit He has brought you to where you're at in your life today. And He wants to lift you higher and bring you along. But will you be still and listen? And will you know your God? I got a book out this week. The Life and Ministry of Jesus by F. Henry Edwards. And I found some things in it that helped me to understand where I am, who I am, and who He is. You see, in my patriarchal blessing, I got it out and read this week. I want to read some of the phrases in it. God knew. That I needed to come closer to Him. Than I'd ever been. And so he, different parts throughout my blessing as he, as words of the Lord given to me through the patriarch. I'll just read some of the phrases. Help him know. Help him know. That he may know. May he know. Seek to know. By prayer and study. When you don't know, ask those who know. And when you know the will of God, do it. And so I try in life, as each of you, to seek to know the will of God and what He wants of you. One of the greatest out of Henry Edwards' books, one of the greatest lessons in the New Testament is that Jesus can give Himself only to those who feel they need Him. If you don't feel that you need the Lord in your life, you're not going to accept anything He desires to give you. But when you feel you have a need to know His will and what will guide you in your path, in life's journey, He'll be there. The primary condition of knowing Christ is not cleverness, but a sense of need. The sinner who knows his own desperate need ranks higher in the scale of discipleship than a respectable citizen who does not realize how much he needs Christ. And we all need Christ. If we're going to be a part of His kingdom in the last day. All this is not the result of thought about Christ, but of action with Him. What's your response to the callings He's given you? You know, we had a man in our congregation down at Adrian had the gift of revelation. And many nights in the prayer services, he might speak to this individual or that individual or however the Lord prompted him. And so I prayed, Lord, I would love to hear what You have to say to me. And then one night, under the inspiration of the Spirit, the Lord spoke to me through him. You know the sad part is? I don't remember a word that he said. That's because I wasn't listening. I just wanted to feel it. I guess the Lord wanted to speak to me. But the Lord doesn't speak to us without a purpose in our lives. And we need to listen to know and to understand what He has for us to do. We can have no knowledge of that which does not exist. God has a perfect knowledge of all His works. Human knowledge is very limited and is mostly gained by observation and experiences. Each one of you here is set under the inspiration of His Spirit. Each one of you here felt the power of His prayers, or the prayers of the saints, to Him. We can go back in Alma, read in the 16th chapter, I believe it is, about the seed, and your faith grows and becomes knowledge, and then go on and grow. And we're not to the point where we're bearing forth the fruit of everlasting life that He desires for us. We still have to grow and come closer to Him and get to know Him. Then the brother goes on. The secret of relationship to Christ. The secret of knowing Him is the secret of love. So many people are wrestling with the besetting sins as a prelude to surrendering themselves to Christ. We think we've got to get better before, well, I'm not good enough. I remember talking to a young lady one time. I can't do that. My life's... The Lord doesn't care where we've been. He cares about you and where He wants you to go. And He wants you to want Him. Instead of yielding themselves to His sovereignty in order to find, and this is what Jesus can do for us, find the power to meet sin. They do this because they have not realized the love of God, and they hunger in their hearts for our responsive, and they hunger in His heart for our responsive affection. That is why the cross of Calvary is so important. If only we could be persuaded to forget other considerations and stand still for a moment and contemplate. What Calvary meant in terms of divine love for us. The barriers we ourselves put in the way will surely be torn down when our hearts are turned to Jesus in love. We begin to know Him. And the more we know Him, the more we love Him. Isn't it amazing how this all can work in our lives to bring us along? First John in the second chapter. Hereby we know that we know him. This each of you can judge in your own lives. 1 John, the second chapter, verse 3. And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Are you keeping your commandments? His commandments? All of them? If you do, you must know him pretty well. And he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth not in him. Do you know your God and Savior? Without a shadow of doubt, of what he wants for you in your life and what he wants you to do for him. That's why we've come here this weekend, this week, to draw out of the world and to come to get to know him better and know what his will is for each of us, from the very youngest to the oldest. There's still a work for each of us to do in this part of the Lord's vineyard. In Ephesians, the third chapter, beginning at the 14th verse. And I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by the Spirit, by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. This is a call for us this week to get to know him better, to understand what's going to be required of us. Allow him to enter into your hearts. Allow him to direct your lives into the paths that he would have you go. It's a wonderful thing when you sit under the experience of knowing you're doing what the Lord wants you to do. You're in the place the Lord wants you to be. You're doing the things that you ought to be doing. May God bless you this week in our fellowship and worship. And may you come to the services, to our prayer services and our evening services. And be still and listen. That his Spirit, through the still small voice or the voice of however he wants to present himself, may speak to your heart, that you might never be the same, but that you'll be closer to him is my prayer. Amen.